my story, I'll see if I can do all right. Started here, unknown to me, many years ago when I was a kid. Mom wasn't saved, but she made us come to Sunday school with her. And what I remember is coming to Sunday school, Bible school, and especially class meeting when you were younger, and then you had teenage meeting when you get older. But, well, I stopped going when I was in elementary school, you know, started high school, I was too good for this. But those class meeting, they were like youth group meetings. Mrs. Buckwalter's meetings. She taught you things you didn't hear in Sunday school, about the rapture, about hell, all those things that kind of scared you a little bit, you know. But I'm thankful that I learned that. Those were seeds that were planted that kept me through those teenage years and young adult years when you do a lot of crazy things, sowing your wild oats. And I can remember a lot of things that I did, didn't do right. And then, but I also, in all that, his protection, different times I could go on and on, things that happened. But one thing in particular, a bunch of us guys were at the hunting camp, out in Slate Run, some of Edie's brothers then, and she was out of the picture, it was her brothers. And so, anyway, we were out there, and we got gassed. Natural gas, you know, they didn't have the smell in those, like you'd have propane here. Someone woke up, fell off the porch, and it came to them that there was something wrong. They came through the camp hollering, get up, get up. And as soon as you woke up, you had a pounding headache, and you just passed out. And they were dragging us out of the camp. Well, the next thing you start doing is throwing up green. So I said all that, that's how God has taken care of us, you know, unknown to us. But anyway, I'm supposed to hurry. I'm sorry, Pastor Dan. But but apparently the only thing that I really remembered from those years of the teaching and everything, the only command I remembered was to love your neighbor. Edie only lived a mile away. So, in my 20s, we started dating. We always knew each other. Didn't live far away. I did things with the brothers, but not the girls, you know, kind of thing. But then the engagement, the wedding plans had started, and Edie was a Christian, and she said, "Well, what church are we going to go to?" I said, well, how about we come here, because I was familiar with that. She said, okay, and she began to come here. And I think I came to Sunday school with you then. I believe maybe I started then to come to Sunday school. But she was attending here, where we were scheduled to get married on April the 25th. And the spring revival was right about that time. And, of course, that was in the days when the ladies lined the altar, stormed heaven, and the old-time conviction would fall on people, you know. Edie came to church, come home from revival one evening, the beginnings of revival, I guess, and stopped at the house. And she said, boy, you don't seem yourself. And I said, I don't know. I said, I just feel uncomfortable, like a sadness, you know, kind of thing. Well, I'm sure you old-timers know that was conviction. Started working on my heart and so forth. So in the next day or so, I called her and told her I'd come to church with her. So that evening, at right about when this young man was sitting, Ethan was sitting there now, I knelt and asked Jesus into my heart, and that's when it started. 2 weeks before we got 2 weeks before we got married. Well, we had the house about all ready and all that, and I said to her. Of course, I was taught, I wasn't very old, but I was taught about tithing and all that, and I said, that's a car payment, you know, but he's been faithful. We've been paying car payments, they've been getting higher, and I'm so thankful. He's taken care of us, he's, you know, supplied our needs. You know what, I think he keeps you from wanting a whole lot more things. He might not give you that much more, but he makes you content, and I'm thankful for that. But One thing I wanted to share here, the real important thing here, was unknown to me how the Lord was working in Edie's heart at the same time. She had had a letter that she didn't give to me yet, telling me that she couldn't marry me because we had been unequally yoked. And I'm so thankful that she obeyed God, and because he was asking her, do you love me more than Keith? And because she wrote the letter showing that she loved God more than me, our lives are different. And so that's how God can work. If we can let go, he can make things happen. Stop with Sharon Haverly back there. But God, you know, it's been good. And then so many good years. I said here, I had 20 good years. You know, of course, when you come to the church, we then started teaching Sunday school, leading youth group meetings, hauling some of your kids all around on the back of trucks and on the back of wagons, and, you know, all the things that we did and worked with, and it was good. The boys came along then, bringing them here, raising them here in the church, and I was thinking that one of the things, the boys were so active and everything, and I look back at how did we come to every Wednesday night service, every Sunday night, that's back when they were 2 hours Sunday night, and, you know, and still have them involved in all kinds of things at school and all that. But you know what? The enemy will tempt me now, and he'll say, how'd that work out for you? But you know what? It's not over. God has a plan for their lives as well. But the next few years, the last 15 years, I said, things have been a lot different, a lot more disappointments, a lot more heartache and sadness. But, you know, I've learned more about God in those years than I did the first 20. And just in sharing here at the end, I want to let you know that a few things that I've learned in the valley, and it's not been, you know, 15 horrible years, but there's been a lot of sadness, a lot of peaks and valleys in those times. First of all, the valleys are humbling. No matter what it is you're facing, things changing, they can be humbling. I also learned in difficult times that they're going to make you better or bitter. And I'm saying all this, I'm not perfected all this, but these are the things that the Lord has shown me and worked in my heart. And to learn to let things go and let God take care of them. You know, I was always a fixer, you know, you try to fix this and fix that and fix the other thing, but I can't fix it the way he does because he sees the big picture. And it's where I learned the beauty and depths of God's unconditional love. You know, a lot of things, you know, in those good times, it's all about the conditions and, you know, you love them because they're doing everything the way you wanted them to, and people and everything, but it's the unconditional. And then God's no respecter of person. He loves everyone. And to love and learn to love people that don't deserve it. It's something that was, and I don't know how to, you know, and forgiveness, and it to a depth that I didn't even know I was capable of, and I'm not. It's because of him, and he reminds me that he's all I need, regardless of what it is, and nothing takes him by surprise. He sees the whole big picture, and God says to me, I got this. No matter what it is, he says, I got this. I'm in control. So I just wanted to share those thoughts with me, not just the time that I was saved and how good. And one more thing, when I... You know, you have all the good times in your life. and things are going well, it's easy to be a little arrogant. I'm doing everything right. The Lord's blessing me. I'm good. But when those valleys come and you have to go through those hard times, He's still God, and He still cares, and He's still interested in your life, and He still is working on your family, your friends. Just keep praying and planting seeds, because God is in the business. And I think one thing, and looking back over this time, let people know that there is a hell. Because I think we love people so much that that's what first stirred my heart. I didn't want to spend eternity in hell. You know, and if it's, and I don't want my family and friends to look at me from hell and say, if they can, and say, why didn't you tell me? And I think that's a part that we've maybe lost when we've tried to love too much. But that's my sermon this morning. Thank you.